Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the IBI Group third quarter earnings conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press the star followed by the 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Friday, November 10th, 2017. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Scott Stewart, Chief Executive Officer at IBI Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. Our third quarter earnings were released yesterday afternoon and have been posted in the investors section of IBI Group's newly updated website. Today's conference call recording will be made available on our website within 24 hours. Joining me on the call this morning is our Chief Financial Officer, Stephen Taylor. Prior to commencing the call, I will ask Stephen to read the following disclaimer about forward-looking statements. Stephen?
Thank you, Scott. On behalf of IBI Group, I'm required to note that some of the statements made on our call today may contain forward-looking information. We caution listeners not to place undue reliance on our forward-looking statements since a number of factors could cause the actual future results to differ materially from the targets and expectations expressed. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, unless expressly required by applicable securities law. For further information on risk factors, please view the company's annual information form filed with the Canadian Securities Regulatory Authorities. I'll now turn the call back to Scott.
Thanks, Stephen. Yesterday afternoon, management announced third quarter revenue had increased to $89.8 million compared to $88.2 million for the same period in 2016. This increase is the result of growth in the Canadian market, including work in the mixed-use high-rise condo market, as well as significant transit projects. Management is forecasting a total revenue of approximately $360 million for the year ending December 31, 2017. The company has a backlog of approximately 10 months. Our adjusted EBITDA margins compare favorably to our peer group and with historical industry averages. Management is pleased with the sustained and consistent strength we are seeing in our business. In Canada, we are seeing continued strength in overall growth, with overall growth in revenue for 2016 of 12% for the quarter and 11% so far this year. In Eastern Canada, we have seen strong performance in our mixed-use high-rise, with major projects underway and planned throughout the Greater Toronto Region. Our transit infrastructure work continues on Eglinton and Ottawa LRT projects and the Viva BRT. We are also in a number of pre-qualified teams for major LRT projects in Ontario and Quebec. In Western Canada, the mixed-use high-rise market is strong and work continues on the transit projects in Calgary and Edmonton. Our traditional land engineering work in Edmonton and Calgary is progressing according to plan and our practice is strengthening in Fort McMurray. It is noteworthy that our intelligence group has been awarded recent projects to deliver province-wide traveler information services in Ontario and Alberta, as well as a major intelligent transportation project in southern Ontario. In the United States, our results are down 11% for the quarter to date and 4% for the year as compared to 2016. We are taking action to reverse the growth trend and are putting in place a new structure and leadership more aligned with our market sectors and business opportunities. We are starting to see activity in transportation infrastructure projects and have been awarded two BRT, or Bus Rapid Transit, projects, including a project in Los Angeles. We are also seeing opportunities in high-rise residential and are focusing on selected markets along the west coast of the United States, supported by our Vancouver office. The intelligence practice has had continued success with recent awards of a smart city project in Miami, a commercial vehicle system for Los Angeles Department of Transportation, and an extension of our statewide traveler information system in New York. We are seeing a continuing stream of opportunities in areas of transportation management, transit systems, and traveler information projects. In the UK, revenue is down over 2016 by 15% for the quarter to date and 13% so far this year. The primary reason for the decline is a weaker British pound in 2017 when compared to the same period in 2016. Overall, the impact of FX on our UK operations was 10%, but the financial performance has improved due to effective management controls on costs. We are taking action to diversify the business in the UK and are using UK talent to provide support to other regions in areas of healthcare and transportation infrastructure. India continues to grow, almost doubling in size in the past year. Our business in India is diverse, including planning and design of smart cities and the installation of toll and traffic management systems, all in support of the major infrastructure program in the country. The Middle East is a strong market for the company, with significant transportation and land use planning work in Dubai and Saudi Arabia. In Israel, our work continues with the Red Line LRT project, the transformative transportation project in Tel Aviv. The firm continues to move forward on our plan to become a technology-driven design firm. To illustrate, we will be launching a smart cities transport management system in early 2018, a cloud-based solution for cities to better manage their roads and street networks. We will also be going to market in the second quarter of 2018 with our repurposed asset management system, repurposed to support the buildings part of our practice. Work to date includes piloting and testing building control systems as part of the asset management solution. Also, we are taking various initiatives to improve the efficiencies of our design practice, including the creation and application of software robots to assist in the design process. We continue to grow all areas of practice with special attention given to our intelligence sector to support and improve the efficiency of our design practice, but also to establish new services and business models. IBI Group is a leader in applying new and emerging technologies to the increasingly interconnected smart cities of today. I'll now turn it over to Stephen to discuss the operational highlights.
Thank you, Scott. Revenue for the quarter increased $1.6 million to $89.8 million compared to the same period in 2016. Revenue for the nine-month period ended September 30, 2017 was $274.5 million compared to $267.3 million for the same period in 2016. At the end of the quarter, the company had net income of $5.5 million compared to a net loss of $4.7 million for the same period in 2016. Net income for the quarter includes foreign exchange gains of $2.3 million compared with foreign exchange gains of $0.4 million for the same time last year. The foreign exchange gain reflects the positive trend in the Canadian dollar against both the U.S. dollar and the British pound in comparison to this period last year. Net income for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017 was $14.3 million compared with a net loss of $4.1 million for the same period in 2016. Net income for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017 is inclusive of foreign exchange gains of $1.2 million compared with foreign exchange losses of $8.6 million for the same period in 2016. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter increased to $11.1 million compared to $10.2 million for the same period in 2016. The 8.8% increase is a result of stronger operating performance. Adjusted EBITDA for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017 was $33 million compared to $31.8 million for the same period in 2016. Basic and diluted earnings per share was 15 cents per share this quarter compared to basic and diluted loss per share of 15 cents per share for the third quarter of 2016. Several factors contributed to the increase. The number of common shares outstanding increased as part of the redemption of the 7% debentures on October 31, 2016. Also, net income increased by $10.2 million, and income tax expense increased by $2.9 million. This was offset by a reduction in interest expense of $11.9 million. The increase in tax expense is the result of reduced availability of tax losses, particularly in Canada. The decrease in interest expense is a result of decreased interest and accretion on debentures after the redemption of the convertible debentures. Basic and diluted earnings per share was 38 cents per share for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2017, compared to a basic and diluted loss per share of 13 cents per share for the same period in 2016. Cash flows provided by operating activities were $10.8 million for the quarter, a decrease of $3.1 million compared to the $13.9 million for the same period in 2016. The decrease is mainly attributable to an increase in net income of $10.2 million, an increase of deferred tax expense of $4.2 million, and an increase in income taxes refunded of $1.3 million. This is offset by a decrease in non-cash operating working capital of $6.8 million, a decrease of interest expense of $11.9 million, and a decrease in interest paid of $0.1 million. Cash flows provided by operating activities for the 9 months ended September 30th, 2017 was $11.8 million, a decrease of $1.8 million compared to the same period in 2016. Interest expense decreased this quarter to $2.5 million compared to $14.4 million for the same period in 2016. The decrease is due to accelerated accretion expense of $10.3 million in September 2016 on the redemption of the 7% and 6% convertible debentures in 2016. Interest was further decreased as a result of more favorable terms on the amended credit facilities secured on June 30, 2017. Interest expense for the 9 months ended September 30, 2017 was $7.7 million compared with $22.5 million for the same period in 2016, a decrease of $14.8 million. And finally, further progress was made on day sales outstanding as they decreased to 78 days as at September 30, 2017, compared to 80 days as at December 31, 2016. I'll now turn the call back over to Scott.
Thanks, Stephen. Operator, we're now ready to take questions and we'll respond as appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. Our first question is from the line of Mona Nazir with Laurentian Bank in Montreal, Quebec. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions.
Hi, Mona.
Hi. So the first question that I wanted to address was just your commentary around the Ontario market. I believe you said that you were seeing a contraction. You touched on new leadership. I'm just wondering, is it a management issue? Is it large projects ending? Is it the pipeline of opportunity? Just a little bit more color on the dynamics there would be great.
Mona, so it's clear you said the Ontario market.
Did I not hear that right in your comments?
Maybe I had misspoken.
All good. So Ontario is still good, strong?
No, Ontario, I'm sorry, I may have misspoken. It was certainly not the intent. No, look, Ontario is very strong.
Okay, good. Okay.
All as part of the Canadian growth that I had mentioned of 11 or 12%. It is the U.S. market that is was in decline.
Okay. So more, a little bit more color there on what's driving
that? Well, we were seeing a softening in the sort of the general markets, so certainly in Southern California, the West, basically across the board, we were seeing a softening. Part of it we had taken as a result, we had seen this a while ago, and as a result we had taken action to restructure more around the sectors, and we've been going through that process. We've hired new people to assume a leadership role, and we are basically restructuring around what that new market, about where our services are best suited to the market. And it really is along the sectors of infrastructure, buildings, and intelligence. We are not seeing much in the way of new infrastructure work that was promised or anticipated with the U.S. federal government, but we are seeing, and this is as per previous calls that we had, that there are a few markets in LA, as an example, with a major $120 billion program of transportation improvements, Washington State with a major program, as well as in the Midwest, in Raleigh. And we're now starting to see some opportunities in that area. And I mentioned then the success on the bus rapid transit, two bus rapid transit projects that we've won. We're also seeing in the mixed-use high-rise condo market opportunities now that we were not seeing before. They were just not formulating along the West Coast. We're now starting to see those opportunities come along. And our intelligence practice has been continuing to grow and expand, albeit it's still a small part of the overall business that we have.
Mona, the reference we're making to the management in the U.S., we have spoken in past calls about the fact that we were going to be doing some strategic hires of people to help us grow that business. And it's a intensely competitive market to be hiring good people in the U.S. In our space this year, but we have been successful and brought some key leadership on board. They have joined us only recently, and we anticipate that their impact we will start to feel over the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay. That's helpful. And then I just wanted to turn to your recent role in the ITS World Congress Conference, which was based in Montreal, more technology-focused. One of your peers had stated it was one of the most significant disruptors that they envision in the industry is a type of digital revolution. I'm just wondering, how are you seeing that shift on your side, and speak about your ability to capitalize on your intelligence offering there? I believe in our past discussions, there was commentary that intelligence could eventually become a 20% revenue component. Is there upside to that?
Well, there are a number of disrupting influences in the market, and part of the pivot and new direction of IBI is to get ahead of those disruptors. And the disruptor list is long. It includes new communications platforms with 5G, and that will have a profound impact on not only how we operate, but also the needs of our clients. And so we are taking initiatives to get out in front of that. There is blockchain and how we deal with the security and transmission and sharing of data internally and then also with clients and how we embed that into our own solutions. We have, as mentioned, we have robotic software or bots, and we're starting to apply that internally already, and we also see opportunities to apply it more extensively to make us more efficient. We are, this coming week, we have a meeting in Waterloo to deal with quantum computing. Although it's a little out there, we do see that we want to get ahead of that because that impact could be, if you believe Mr. Lazaridis, the impact on society will be absolutely profound. That may be a 5 to 10 years out, but we want to get in front of that. And then there's the Canadian leadership in areas of AI and big data. We're already taking initiatives in that area. Where we see that IBI is in a really unique position is that we design all of these fabulous fixed assets in infrastructure and in buildings, and they all have to be operated. There are great opportunities to realize efficiencies of the use of that infrastructure and the user experience within it, and that's where we want to be in using these technologies and to get out in front of that and to be able to be providing services to those clients that are great design, our asset clients, and turning our business into a continuing relationship with them in providing services to manage those assets. We do that in the transportation area already with our traffic management systems and traveler information, and IBI is in, we believe, a very unique position then to repurpose that software to then manage these other assets that we invest in or that our clients invest in.
Okay, perfect. That was very helpful. And just lastly for me, and this is more high level, but when you're kind of stepping back and looking at your matrix model, your global geographic spread, the different verticals, what areas, and it could be intelligence that you just spoke about, what areas are looking attractive, and where do you think that increased efforts would pay off, where you can kind of reap the largest reward?
There are two areas that are of immediate focus, and I mentioned intelligence, and that is an absolute priority as part of a pivot of the firm, not only to become more efficient in how and use technology in the how we deliver our current 85% of revenue and our services to clients, but also to then create new business models and services to our clients. Some of the work that we're doing now in traveler information services and toll systems is an example of that, where we end up with a continuing revenue stream after we've installed the systems. So that's on the intelligence side, and we see that is pervasive across the firm and all the sectors that we operate in. But the other major area of opportunity that we see for us is the United States. GDP growth of over 3% or in the order of 3% in the United States. Although we don't see infrastructure work in the on a grand scale in the near term, we are seeing regional initiatives in infrastructure. But we're also seeing a continued movement in the United States in certain cities into just reurbanizing or urbanizing. And that's our sweet spot. It is those the great cities, the great urban environments, and designing the housing for that, the schools for those areas, designing health facilities, and then, of course, all the infrastructure that supports that, and then putting a technology wrapper around that to make it all work that much more efficiently.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Maxim Sytchev with National Bank Financial in Toronto, Ontario. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Max.
Just was wondering if maybe you can expand a little bit on the capital allocation priorities, maybe beyond kind of 2018, because by that time leverage will be coming down fairly significantly. So trying to get an update in terms of, you know, what you're thinking about, you know, the balance sheet on a post improved balance sheet basis.
Yeah, I think what we had said previously, Max, and we continue to stand by this, that by the decision point for us will come in the latter half of 2018 as to what we start to do in terms of capital allocation. We should have debt down to a level based on free cash flow that we're comfortable with at that point in time. And so we will then be looking at going to be reinstituting a dividend. No decision will be made until next year, but we're certainly looking at it. And also, at that point in time, you know, we will then be more receptive to any M&A activity that might result in us on a very strategic basis accelerating the pace of change within the intelligence sector of our business.
Okay, that's helpful. In terms of the U.S., I mean, from your perspective, is it an issue of revenue opportunity? Because, you know, when we look at some of the bigger peers, I think there's actually a lot of growth being generated in the U.S. right now. So is that the positioning or what's happening, just trying to determine why U.S. is down for you versus some of your peers?
In our intelligence, let me deal with it on a sectoral basis. Our intelligence practice has not had the downturn. In fact, it has grown. Various projects that I mentioned and others. The areas that have not had the success that we expected have been certainly in infrastructure. Certain markets, such as Ohio, have been at best flat, and other markets have been negative. Certainly in Denver, for example, that was we're really not realizing the full value of the local market in Denver. We had been exporting services, and the area where we were exporting those services had stopped. We were also really investing in the restructuring and the refocusing. We were not realizing the results that we need to realize in California generally. Our traditional transportation market had become very soft. There were propositions in Southern California that did not come through, where we were expecting a lot of work that was that would have been ideally suited for IBI. The propositions were not passed. The funds were not raised, and therefore the work fell away for us. So it's been a period of if you will, readjustment. Our education practice has not been growing at the same rate. In fact, we're concerned about what it might look like in the latter part of this year. So that's the sort of repurposing and redirection of the firm. We are seeing, on the private sector side, we are seeing opportunities, as I mentioned, of intensification of urbanization, of migration into the cities within the United States. That's a sweet spot for us in the mixed-use high-rise kind of development, and ultimately then the infrastructure that goes with it. It's taking more time for us to then benefit from what we see as a strong market.
Okay, and then not trying to sort of pin you down in terms of the exact timing, but when should we see revenue growing again in the U.S.? Is this a late 2018 or potentially earlier time frame?
I would target mid 2018.
And the pace of declines in early 18, should they moderate or should we expect similar type of deceleration?
I am not anticipating any deceleration. I would see a flattening in the early part of 2018 and then looking for a turnaround the latter part of 2018.
Okay, that's very helpful. And maybe any incremental color on the UK, somewhat of a sort of similar dynamic to the U.S. Compounded by the foreign exchange. But how should we think about that market over the next 12 months?
I would say that in the UK, we're certainly we don't see that that market will decline anymore. We in fact are quite hopeful that for next year that we would see a recovery in that market with at least normal, in our view, normal organic growth. And we are seeing some promising signs in that market. We're going through the sort of planning process now for next year, and we are comforted by what we are seeing as the expectations for 2018 in the UK.
Is it fair to say that it's still going to be mostly driven by transit, or do you see some recovery in the buildings market as well?
And the UK is really we're exporting services in the transit market. We're not really doing a lot of transit work in the UK. We have a significant intelligence practice in the UK that we see will continue. And we're hopeful that it will improve, but we're also seeing improvements and strengthening in the building side and buildings and, if you will, the urban planning side of with opportunities in areas of mixed-use high-rise, schools, and also healthcare.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it for me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Frederic Bastien with Raymond James in Vancouver, BC. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Frederic.
Guys, a key differentiator and strength for IBI historically, and I think still to this day, has been the management partnership. What are you guys doing in respect to maintaining the health of that partnership? Just wondering what you're doing in terms of promotion, succession, and to make sure that you sustain this competitive advantage.
The Well, a couple of things. We are normalizing the relationship in terms of the how we recognize and reward the leadership of the professional practice across the partnership as well as for those who are not part of the partnership. We have gone through a process of restructuring the partnership and creating an opportunity both for senior partners to, and I say senior more in age, to realize on the value of their contribution to the partnership over the years and plan their retirement accordingly. But also we've set it up so that we can provide for provide a platform for new and continuing leadership to grow within the partnership and acquire and participate through the partnership in the growth of the public company. And that's been a process that's been underway for the past couple of years to set up the right kind of structure that parallels the interest of the public company and make sure that it's coordinated across all the leadership in terms of short and long-term rewards.
Okay, great. That's helpful. That's all I have. Thanks. Thanks and good results.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Michael Tupholm with TD Securities in Toronto, Ontario. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I just wanted to circle back on the commentary about the U.S. So two questions. Is the new structure or the changes that you are making there in that market, and I know you have talked about making some changes previously, but it sounds like you're maybe making some additional changes. But are those changes, and as it relates to bringing in new people and changing the structure, is that all in place now, or are you still working on that?
I would say we're still working on it. And I should say we had mentioned it before. It is a very competitive market to find the right kind of people. And we've only recently then been able to bring on the kind of leadership that we need to supplement the current management structure. There are still changes that we see putting into effect. I think we have a plan. It's more than just now than an execution of that plan, to be focused on where the opportunities are and to make sure that we're all organized to realize on that. We did have a regional structure in place before, and given our size in the U.S., we felt it was necessary to make sure that all of the disciplines really operated as in an integrated way, and thus the more sectoral structure that is now in place and going forward. So I would anticipate that we'll start to see some benefits. We'll be finished the restructuring in the sort of first quarter of 2018 and start to see the results of that in terms of efficiency and market share and growth in the mid to latter part of 2018.
Michael, some of this we had spoken before about the fact that the firm had grown substantially through acquisition in the United States, and that that provided us with a tremendous geographic footprint to move forward and grow the business. There are areas that we have made some significant progress over the last 6 months in terms of enhancing branding for IBI in the United States, because when you grow by acquisition, You're largely known by the names of the predecessor firms that you brought on board. We've now made significant progress. Please, in the next few weeks, visit our new website to see how that branding strategy and the cohesiveness of our service delivery across the U.S. has been enhanced with the initiatives that we've taken.
That's all very helpful. Thank you. I guess the second part or the follow-up to that, and I think you've addressed it to some extent already, Scott, but I'd just like to clarify. As far as expected rates of growth, I understand that sort of by mid-year 2018 and to the back half, you'll hopefully start to see some positive growth. But between now and then, just to clarify, we should expect the rate of year-over-year decline that we saw this quarter to sort of persist for the next few quarters, or does it actually get any less negative?
I would expect that by Q1 we will have flattened out, and there won't be any more negative growth, and then we'll start to see then the turnaround positive growth in U.S. in the latter part of 2018.
Okay, perfect. And then just one last one on this topic, the U.S. Has all of this or any of this had an impact on your margin performance to the detriment of margins?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there are other, one of the things about being a firm that operates in 63 offices across 11 countries is that you've got some business operations that are really firing on all cylinders when you've got some other ones that are slipping back a little bit. And so, overall, I think we've got some very strong performances in some geographies, and at the end of the day, we said we were going to do between 8% and 12%, and we're at 12.3% for this quarter. So, we're doing okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the overall number is very very healthy. I'm just wondering if in fact, absent some of the things you've been dealing with in the U.S., it would have been even better. But I hear your point. I guess it's a different regions and different practices are performing differently, and it sort of blends.
The reality of a worldwide practice, Michael, is you're never going to be firing on all cylinders in all geographies all the time. So,
no, fair point. Next, I just wanted to jump over to intelligence. So a lot of discussion about that and a lot of examples of some of the things you're working on. I guess, Scott, just with respect to the smart cities management system you talked about and your repurposed asset management opportunity, it sounds like you're effectively going to market now or as we get into the early part of 2018. I'm just trying to understand what that might mean for revenue contribution or growth from those areas, from those initiatives in 2018. Is 2018 still very much sort of a rolling out year, or do you think you'll actually start to see some meaningful contribution from some of those initiatives?
I wouldn't anticipate any meaningful contribution in 2018. The plan we have for intelligence extends out over a period of time. It includes in the initial phases the repurposing, defining the markets, defining the solutions, repurposing of existing software, and then going to market. And in certain cases, our solutions are new. Certainly, they're new to our existing clients, but we see that they do add great value to our existing clients. But it will take some time to have our clients understand that there's this new offering. And if we see it as an extension of our design services in the first case, that it will be continuing to go through design on assets, but we'll not see the asset management revenue until the latter part of the design and construction phase. So it will take some time. But we will be. It's a different model for us as well because it's more of a single platform, cloud-based service or set of services in all the solutions going forward with potentially much higher margins. But on the other hand, much more investment in terms of marketing and sales than you have in a traditional professional services business.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. In terms of the residential business or residential sector, it sounds like it's still quite strong for you right now. Just in terms of the outlook, is that an area that can continue to drive growth for you year over year in 18 versus this year, or given how strong it's been, is that a business that maybe is more of a flat type situation?
Well, it's very much tied to, in Canada, immigration and migration. We're seeing immigration of something in the order of 350,000 people a year coming into Canada with the updated plans of the federal government. They too are looking at that kind of immigration over the next 3 years now, where it used to be year to year. That results in about or a need for about 125,000 households, and most of that migration is moving to the big cities of Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, Montreal, and we're continuing to service that. Now, I don't know if I should qualify. There's that demand, but what is happening is that the single-family housing market is decreasing because there just isn't the land available to then grow that. So more and more of that immigration and housing need will be in mixed-use high-rise. So we don't see a change in that market in Canada for a significant period of time, so long as government policy stays reasonably accommodating, and I think it must, and as long as cost of money and availability of money is also reasonable. Cost of housing as a percentage of household income is high, but on the other hand, the units are being designed to be smaller to accommodate that sort of cost consideration, and we don't see that cost of money is going to be materially different over the planning horizon in Canada. In the U.S., it's not quite the same. The markets are more focused, and largely the intensification of housing is really more around those attractive market areas, typically high-tech areas, where the nature of the occupants or owners is such that they don't want to have the long commute and suburban lifestyle, and where the land and or regulations constrain it. So there's cities like Seattle, San Francisco, L.A. to a certain extent, San Diego, Denver. Those are all areas where we're seeing an intensification of and New York, the mixed use high rise development, and those are good markets for IBI.
Okay, great, thank you. And then just lastly, for Stephen, in terms of days in the quarter, in the fourth quarter of 17 versus the prior year, do you have those numbers handy? Do you know if there's a discrepancy at all?
Michael, those numbers are in the MD&A, working days you're talking about?
Yeah, for the fourth quarter, the upcoming quarter.
Oh, sorry. Okay, no, I'll check on that and get back to you.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, Mr. Stewart. I will turn the conference back over to you.
Thank you very much, everybody, for being on the call today, and have a very good weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation, and we ask that you disconnect your lines. Thank you, and have a great day.